Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and so we must. They can't, we must. Welcome to our program. This is our News and Information Hour. Sad piece of news that you heard today that I would also, you know, join in reporting. And that was the death, the tragic death of Don Cornelius. Don Cornelius took his own life in Sherman Oaks, I guess yesterday. I believe Mr. Cornelius was found early on Tuesday morning, if not this morning. He was 75 years old. He shot himself. So you never know, huh? You just never know. And, you know, Don Cornelius was a trailblazer for black television. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is there obviously are great producers, directors, and entertainers in black media when everything was segregated. You know, we had black films and black literature and, you know, and white this and black that. Everything was just separate. And you never really, if you were white, you didn't really get too much exposure to, for instance, black cinema. You heard black music. It was played on the radio. And not only that, but it became very fashionable for people to, you know, whites to go to black clubs back when, let's just put it this way, back when it was socially a much easier thing to do. Don Cornelius came out with a dance show called Soul Train, which many people said was kind of like a black American Bandstand. But what he did do was assist in sort of mainstreaming black performers, mainstreaming even black teenagers, if you will, who were dancing on television. I mean, it was not that common a thing to see. I watched dance shows as a kid. I watched all the local dance shows here in L.A. I watched American Bandstand, and you rarely saw black teenagers on those shows. They gradually sort of, I guess, worked them in, you know. What they do? I mean, they go out and just find a black kid? I bet you it was something as garish as the producer said, look, we got to get a couple of black teenagers in there. Come on, let's go. Come on, find a couple. Throw a couple in, you know. But not a lot, and they were all white kids. You saw black acts. There's no question about that. I mean, I saw all of the groups, Temptations, Marvin Gaye, all of them. But black audience members, you didn't see. And with the Don Cornelius show Soul Train, suddenly there were black teenagers, and there was black product. There was Afro Sheen, and there was, you know.
Yeah, Jerry Curl and stuff like that.
Shut up, man.
What? There's Jerry Curl.
Yeah, but just the fact you're saying Jerry Curl, I don't like. All right, take it easy. Do you understand what I'm saying here, bud?
Yeah.
The fact that these were products that were different from the products used by white people. I bet you that for the very first time, I know in my life, for the very first time I flipped the TV on, and I go, wow. Like, black people use different stuff for their hair than I do, you know?
You mean you had stuff for your... Oh, yeah, you had hair.
Yeah, I had hair when I was a kid.
What do you use?
When I was a little boy, we still... it's funny that you should ask that. When I was a little boy, we still used crap like Brill Cream, you know? I mean, in other words, that was the thing, you know? You used, like, some...
What do you mean Brill Cream? What is that?
Now, it sounds kind of... I mean... Like it's an adult film.
Is that what it sounds like? An adult film, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I had to smack both of you. It was stuff you put in your hair, okay, smart ass. And there was stuff called Vitalis and all of that. And then when I got into high school, all of that became a thing of the past. You know, you stopped using that and everybody was wearing long hair. And okay, so... But Soul Train was one of those shows that you watched and you went, man, there's all these black products and there's all these black hair care stuff and skin care stuff. And look at, there's a black host and look at all these black. And
I think they had like white kids on Soul Train, though.
Well, later Soul Train had white kids. I think I saw white teenagers on Soul Train.
Do you have any white guys that I play on a music?
Oh, no way, man. They don't need to have no whites. You know,
well, no, wait, hold on. I did see a white act on Soul Train, Tower of Power. Tower of Power. They were a primarily white R&B group from Oakland with a black lead singer.
There you go. That's on account. That's why they allowed it.
Why?
Because the black guy was out front.
That's why they allowed it.
You got to understand, Soul Train was an R&B rhythm and blues. It wasn't really rock and roll. It was rhythm and blues. And it was the music that was, in those days, they used to call it the rhythm and blues charts. Today, they call it CHURBAN, C-H-R, urban. Back then, it was rhythm and blues. Which, what did that mean? It meant Temptations and Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, and then into the 70s, all of those groups. So Don Cornelius brought all of that, and that's why I say he mainstreamed black entertainment. Not that there wasn't popular black music, not that there weren't popular black performers, but suddenly he brought into our homes the black audience. The black consumer are people that we saw every day at work, or people that we knew lived in the same city with us. But beyond the fact that we saw them in the workplace, or perhaps riding the same bus with us, or walking down the same street, we never really saw them at their leisure or enjoying life the way we enjoyed life. And so when I say we, I mean white people. And then suddenly here is Soul Train, and I'm looking every Saturday at teenage kids dancing to the music that they like, wearing the clothes that they like, and enjoying life the way they like to enjoy life. And
yeah, but you know, does that mean you want to go out and wear a Superfly hat?
Hey, what do you mean, man? Come on, will ya? You trying to be a smartass?
No.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, that's right, bud. As soon as I saw Soul Train, I ran right out and got a Superfly hat. Okay?
Yeah, you're trying to make it racist.
No, I'm not. Just when you watch those shows, all you want to do is get a hat with a feather in it.
Get out of here. Come on. You know, we're talking about a man that died, bud. You understand that?
Yeah.
Talking about a man that committed suicide, as a matter of fact. You want to be a smartass?
I'm sorry.
I don't think you are sorry.
I am.
Say it again.
Say it.
I'm sorry.
Say it better. Oh, he's going to bawl now.
Yeah, he's going to cry. But I meant to say it.
What a baby. Get out of here. And don't ever, ever make smart-ass remarks when I'm talking about a man that died.
What about when you die every night? You're going to want to kick his ass.
877-876-PHIL. And our prayers and our thoughts to Don Cornelius and to his surviving family members and friends. That's tough. That's tough. All right. The other piece of news that we were going to get into, and now I totally forget because Bud pissed me off.
Let me look, man.
He pissed me off so much I completely... I know we talked about the IPO. You know what I wanted to tell you guys was that that today I went over and worked for the first time with the cast of New Girl on Fox, and... the nicest people. I know I said this when I worked over at Modern Family, that it's great to meet people when you're brand new as an actor on a show and you're walking into the middle of a group of actors who've got a successful show and they've been kicking ass and they've been working hard and they've got their show where they want it to be. And here you come. Boy, you sure do appreciate it when they, you know, extend a hand and they say, hey, welcome. And we're glad to see you. And thank you. And that's exactly the guys in Modern Family that way, and exactly the same way they are at New Girl. Zooey Deschanel especially was very sweet, and I asked the guys at the end of our table read, I said, would you mind taking a picture with me? They said, not at all. You know, I mean, I felt, you feel kind of like a dork, you know, dork, can I get a picture with you for my website? But everybody was totally cool. They wanted to do it. Friendly as hell. Ms. Deschanel is a fan of our show, I'm very happy to tell you, although maybe I just said something she'd rather I not say, because...
Yeah, probably embarrassing.
Yeah, it's probably embarrassing. But anyway, so in a couple of weeks, we're going to go over and do an episode of New Girl, and really looking forward to it. Really nice people. And we did it over the table read was over at Dodger Stadium. I don't think I'm giving away too much, am I? Should I mention? No, probably not. I better just... But it was very interesting to be over there for the first time in a while, man. I haven't been to a game at Dodger Stadium in a long time, but just driving over there and then going into the stadium. And I did mention during our pre-show,
You know, the Dodgers, when they were owned, and I hate to go down memory lane here, but I'm just going to do it, especially when it comes to the Dodgers. When they were owned by the O'Malleys, and that was the family that brought them out here from Brooklyn, and they owned the Dodgers up until the late 90s, up until around the year 99, 2000. You know, they never allowed anything in that ballpark but baseball. And on occasion, they had exhibitions. For instance, they let the Olympics, they had the Olympic baseball there. The Angels played there when the Angels were waiting for their stadium to get completed in Orange County. I think they've had occasionally high school baseball games, the, you know, the, like the league championships or the city championships were there. But the Dodgers were very careful. They're, no freaking football, forget it, Jack. And I think there were a couple of teams that wanted to play there, and the Dodgers, no, we ain't gonna, you know, they wanted to move to L.A. Oh, we'll use Dodger Stadium. Not in our lifetime you ain't using our ballpark. Get out of here and take your football team with you. And I think a lot of Dodger fans, I liked it because they kept Dodger Stadium as a baseball stadium. So I got over there today and I said, wow, you know, I want to go and take a picture at the field, you know, and put it on my website or whatever. And she goes, you should go and get a picture because there ain't no field. I go, what do you mean? She says, they ripped the grass out. It's motocross and supercross and stuff. And I go, wow, now I really want to get a picture of that because obviously it would be interesting to see. But by the same token, motocross. So times have changed. And I only say that because, again, this was not anything that the O'Malley family, when they owned the ball club, would have ever allowed. Now they went to Fox, and Fox did a lot of things with the stadium. They put pictures of the ball players on the outfield fence. Then it went to the McCourts. I don't know. I can't comment, but obviously no one likes what's happened to the ballpark since the McCourts or the ball team. And now they're shopping for an owner. So, the O'Malley's got out of baseball because it was too expensive. You can't have a family operation. So how is it the McCourts were able to do it? Well, the answer was they weren't. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is, forget about our number. This is our news and information hour.
Yeah, you're always giving it out, though.
All right, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting. Who is the latest guy to endorse Newt Gingrich? Just in time, huh? Now that Newt is on his ass and is pretty much out of the race, who do you think is jumping in and endorsing him? We'll find out along with other news when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Now I've got to look something up here, but and I don't want to get into a whole lot of LA centric talk here, but this is a lesson for any municipality, any city, and it's also I think a necessary reminder to people in this city. We talk about ballparks, and what do you want? You know, the Super Bowl's coming up. And the Super Bowl, where the hell are they having a Super Bowl?
What?
Where are they having a Super Bowl, man?
They're having it, like, the Super Bowl?
Yeah, where's the Super Bowl being played?
It's going to be in Hawaii.
What do you mean, Hawaii? The Super Bowl, man.
Oh, not the Pro Bowl.
We'll find out, will you?
Yeah.
Ain't it in Tampa? Or is that where the... anyway. So here's the thing, and you know... The story of football here in this city, as opposed to in other cities, here's the second largest market in the country. We ain't got any football. Why? It's very simply because we got no stadium. Why don't we have a stadium? Because there is absolutely no public will whatsoever for public money to build a stadium. That's it. Bottom line. End of story. That's it. You're not going to get one nickel, and I support that. And I'm a lifelong football fan. And a lifelong L.A. football fan, and no way do I want to see 1 cent of my money going to build a ballpark. These guys either can buy it, pay for it themselves, or find something else to do for a living, man. Don't bother me. Now, the O'Malley's wanted to do this. Here's a baseball stadium. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to build a football stadium right next to the baseball stadium. Want to put a football stadium right next to Dodger Stadium. Now along comes a very well-meaning politician here in the city of Los Angeles. His name is Mark Ridley Thomas. Mr. Thomas was a representative of the people in the district around the Coliseum. And he wanted NFL football for the Coliseum. The Coliseum is further down the corridor, the Harbor Freeway corridor from Dodger Stadium. It is, in fact, bordering there next to the University of Southern California Exposition Park, and it's bordering as you get into the south and south central part of Los Angeles. And he really wanted to bring NFL football back to the Coliseum. That's where the Rams had been for years. That's where the Raiders had been for years. He wanted to get his team interested. He wanted to get the money to refurbish the Coliseum, to get the luxury boxes, this, that. It didn't happen when the Raiders were here. The Raiders left. It didn't happen when the Rams were there. The Rams left and eventually went to St. Louis. And it has not happened since. Peter O'Malley said to Mark Ridley Thomas, if you really, Thomas said to him, no, don't build a stadium near Dodger Stadium. Please support our effort to have football at the Coliseum. And the O'Malley said, okay. Well, folks, that is the end of that. There was no football stadium near Dodger Stadium. But more to the point, the O'Malleys are completely out of the business of baseball and football. Now, one of the reasons they say O'Malley wanted to build a stadium was because he wanted to get out of baseball and go completely into football. Some people feel that had he been able to get a football team, that might have supported the baseball operation as well. I don't know. But the word we kept hearing was that O'Malley wants to sell these Dodgers so he can get himself a football team. And it put the stadium right there next to Dodger Stadium, and it'll be fantastic. And it sounded like a really cool thing, but guess what? Mark Ridley Thomas wanted it for the Coliseum, so okay, goodbye. We won't do it. We'll support you, Mr. Thomas. And how you doing so far? Well, not too good, man. It's 2012, and we're no closer to it. We ain't never going to have a football team there, ever. And so, I don't know. Look, it's not a great part of the city. It's a historic building.
Yeah, that's where they had Olympics and everything.
They've had two Olympics there, man. They've had two.
What's the other one?
They had the one that they originally built it for.
Yeah, when was that?
Yeah, when?
I don't know, in the 20s or something.
That long ago?
Yeah, I mean, a long time ago. That's what they originally built the Coliseum for, the one in the 20s. And then they, then they had the one in 84 there. And like that, you know. And so, but beyond it being a really historic, and man, I've been to some great things at the Coliseum. It's a beautiful building, and it's historic, and I dig it. And we used to go watch SC, but whatever. Ain't going to be no luxury boxes there. It's not going to have an NFL team. Who's going to come up with a dough? It is going to happen. Maybe somewhere along the line, when things get straightened out and we have enough money, somebody will come along and say, now we got the bread, we can refurbish the Coliseum. By that time, they're going to have a team in this town, and it's going to be someplace else.
Where? Where are they going to put it? They're going to put it in a rock pit? Is that what you think?
No, man. They'll put it down there off the 405 in Dominguez Hills or someplace like that. But the time was wrong for that. And
what do you say? You're saying to Mark Thomas, he's just trying to save jobs for down there.
Yeah, but there's nothing but a bunch of people that are going to rob you down there, man.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your typically racist view about that.
You can't go down there without a guy wanting to put his hand on you.
Would you guys shut up? The fact of the matter is, it's a rough part of town, but you can bring business back to any part of town when you develop the area and put nice things there and put things that draw people there. I've seen it happen a million times. You do the same thing around the Coliseum. We got a beautiful museum there. The Exposition Park Museum of Natural History is there. It's a wonderful building. And the Museum of Science and Industry, University of Southern California, it's a great area. You just got to have some money, man. And money we ain't got. So there. End of discussion. We'll be back here. Always going to tell you who's endorsed Newt Gingrich. Stick around. You don't want to miss this, do you? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
About it.
All right, bud, I got it, okay? So we were looking here on Phil TV and HD, for those of you who are watching. That is the Lucas, that is Lucas Oil Stadium. That's where the Super Bowl will be.
You got the helmet upside down.
So?
Yeah, if you thought the helmet's upside down, you're on the wrong side.
Doesn't make any difference, Robert. You got a 50-yard line seat, you gonna care?
You want to be behind the team you want.
I gotta root for the Indianapolis Colts, if that's what you're saying.
They're not even in the Super Bowl, Jack, okay? This game is being played. This is the Super Bowl. So this is a neutral site. But what I have here is this is a very nice feature here on the Lucas Oil Stadium site. You have the 360-degree view. So you put, see, that's what that looks like, bud. So there, are you happy?
That's what it looks like if you're on the right side.
I'm not going to be on that side. I want to be on the one we're on.
Okay, that's why the helmet's upside down. You guys argue about the dumbest stuff. What do you care, man?
You don't want to be on your team side.
Let me put it to you this way. If the only 50-yard line seats they got left are on the opposite side of the field from my team, I'll live with it, man. You know?
Yeah, why do you want to do that, though? Because you'll never be able to root for them.
Huh? Boy, you guys don't know diddly squat about football. I can root for my team anywhere I want. I can root for my team on the moon if I want to, okay?
Ain't going to be nobody up there to... Well, I mean, there obviously won't be nobody up there.
You know what? Just be quiet.
What?
You know, I'm not going to argue with you guys about the merits of rooting for a team on the moon. It ain't going to happen. Be quiet. So, it's called Lucas Oil Stadium. It's there in Indianapolis. This is a very nice feature there on their website. And it looks really great. It's a retractable dome, I think. One of the things that these ballparks are, these indoor football stadiums are featuring, it's like a gymnasium feel. They've got that big picture window. You know, it's this large view outside the stadium onto the city, which is pretty remarkable. I mean, these are enormous amounts of dollars that are being spent for these ballparks, man. You know, $400 billion to... Am I right about that? 400? No, it can't be 400 billion. 400 million. Yeah. 400 billion. That's like half a trillion. What am I saying? 400 million to build a stadium. So.
Boy, I mean, Obama, he went to Pakistan for 400 million a day.
Oh, that's right. Obama went to Pakistan for 400 million a day. So, yes, of course. It must be right. After all, that was the figure that was reported. All right. Donald Trump to endorse Newt Gingrich. That really helps, huh, Newt? Not. Little late there, Donald. With just days to go before Nevada Republicans head to the polls to choose who they want to take on President Obama in November, this is how they announce it. Reality show host Donald Trump is injecting himself into the race and endorsing Newt Gingrich. How is that injecting yourself into the race other than to say, I'm a prominent American, and I'm endorsing this guy? I guess it's, I can see that because...
Yeah, it's just at this late date, they're thinking he is.
Right, because at this late date, maybe he thinks he can influence things. Trump's office announced on Wednesday that he would make a major announcement Thursday morning in Las Vegas without providing details of what he would say. And, of course, everyone already guessed that he'd be endorsing Newt Gingrich, but Donald couldn't figure that one out for love or money, and he showed up and he said, I bet you guys don't know what I'm thinking. And everyone said, yes, we do know what you're thinking. You're going to endorse Newt Gingrich, and that's when his hair wilted. No, he announced on Wednesday he would make a major announcement Thursday morning in Las Vegas, if he ever made it to Las Vegas, if he ever got out of bed to get to the plane in time for Las Vegas. Two sources confirmed to CBS News that the publicity-savvy businessman plans to endorse the former House Speaker in his bid for the Republican presidential nomination. Nevada holds its caucus on Saturday.
A little late, man.
I think it's a little late.
Why?
Because Gingrich just got his ass beat. But more to the point, Gingrich got his ass beat, and he's being kind of a surly puss about it. He's all, you know, Gingrich, look, Gingrich did poorly in the debates. Gingrich has done poorly in the campaign of late, and Gingrich is pissed off that he's getting his ass handed to him by a very savvy moderate Republican. And what I was saying to you guys last week and what I just heard today on the news from all these heavy hitters like whatever the hell that guy, what's his name, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, he doesn't know nothing.
Yeah, I know, but some of these other guys, all of them saying the same thing. They need to have a moderate out there, man, because when the time comes for them to go into the main campaign against the Democrats, Gingrich doesn't stand a chance. He doesn't stand a chance. Gingrich will make Obama look like Abraham Lincoln. I'm telling you. They got to get a guy against Obama that can, they think, maybe has a shot at outclassing Mr. Class. Because Obama's classy. And he, whether people like him or not, you know, you either got to get to know this or you don't, folks. If you don't like Obama, you still need to know what makes him strong and what makes people like him. And he comes off as very classy. He is not a spiteful guy. He's not a nasty guy. You can say what you want. Just as recently as that picture with Jan Brewer, who looked like the yakking banshee and who looked like Mr. Cool?
She looked like Mr. Cool.
Yeah, she looked like Mr. It wasn't her. She's there with the big nose and the hand, the finger just, yeah, 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 yeah. And he's standing there like, oh boy, here we go again. Yes, ma'am. He looked like a very patient school teacher with some screaming brat in his face. That's what it looked like. You don't have to like Obama. You know, I know the feeling about Obama. I'm not stupid. You know, I mean, when I say I'm not stupid, what I mean is this. People think that, I think a lot of people think they have other people fooled. I think a lot of people think that they've got everybody, you know, we're cool. I'm telling you right now, folks, and I don't mean you. I know. And the reason why I know is because I'm a white man. And there isn't anybody in the sound of my voice, and there isn't anybody in the sound of, you know, wherever I may go, that's going to tell me that Obama's race hasn't meant anything, because it has. And don't give me this garbage, oh, well, just a little bit. No, no, not just a little bit. A whole lot. Don't give me this stuff that it hasn't, because it has. And going to sit there and talk to me. You can go and talk to, you want to find a black guy that'll believe that? Good luck. You want to talk to somebody who it wants to be self-deluded? Talk to them. Don't lay that on me. I know that that's played a major, and what do I mean by that? I don't mean that people hate Obama because he's black. I'm saying that people have looked at him through the color of that skin. That whole stuff with Mrs. Obama being regal and royal, and where does she get off with all of these assistants? What the hell? All of a sudden, a first lady with all of these assistants? So what? All this jazz about, you know, half white. I've never laughed so hard in my life. I mean, I'm telling you, I've laughed until I lost control of my bowels listening to these people with the half white stuff. All of a sudden, you guys are trying to sell that one to me. Where'd you get this half white? He may be half white. In this society, if you've got one drop of black blood in you, Jack, you are black. Where have you been? Where you people been? You're black. The only reason why they say he's half white is so they don't have to talk about him as a black guy, so they can sound like they don't have any real racial agenda. Oh, I'm not racist, and besides, he's half white. Oh, all of a sudden, he's half white. My whole life, man, I've heard people refer to people who are half black as black. Or even sometimes the mulatto thing. But I got news for you. President Obama, he walks into any room. Well, you heard the guy said it himself. Trying to catch a cab, man. You think anybody sees he's half white when he's trying to catch a cab? That cat, he's got to stand there just as long as anybody else. The point that I'm making here is people can say anything they want, but they ain't fooling me. You know? And I say that with all due respect and all love in my heart for my fellow man. I get it. People are, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm far from it. But just don't, please, you know, don't give me this horse dung about how, it's race. It's really. And my God, you know, the number of times that I hear the phrase, some of my best friends are black on this radio show, you'd think people would be embarrassed now using that phrase. It's such a joke. It's a punchline to a joke. Some of my best friends, you know. Now, the good news is, in my opinion, President Obama got elected. And President Obama got elected on a wave of goodwill and a great desire to see a better country, a great country. And yeah, I think a lot of people cast a vote for him because he was black. I'm one of them. So sue me. I wouldn't have voted for the man if I didn't think he was a good leader, a good president, and qualified. But the fact that I was voting for a black man, you think I wasn't thinking about that? Give me a break. You think there's any other white people out there that weren't thinking about that? You find me one, man. I'll give you $1,000 for every white person that voted for Obama and didn't think of his race. I'll give you $1,000 if you can find per voter any whitey that said, oh, no, race never figured into it. Uh-huh. Fact is that you won't be able to find him. Am I an Obama supporter? I am not a supporter of his economic remedies. I thought that I would be. I thought I would give them a chance. I can see now that the business community has got its head so far up its ass right now, they don't know whether to flip or fall in it. They're completely lost. In how to think and what to do. Now, presidents don't cause businesses to be stupid. But one of the effects of the current remedies that the president has put into effect, and he hasn't, that the Congress has voted for, that the American people have to some degree supported, and that many now regret, is the fact that now Wall Street pays attention to every little fart that comes out of Europe, which is the dumbest thing they could possibly do, but that's never stopped Wall Street. That's got nothing to do with anything. Give a damn whether Greece has got this or Italy that. Will you guys mind the store, you jackasses at Wall Street? We have got some real idiots. And if you want to ask me where I think Ron Paul... I would vote for Ron Paul, is when Ron Paul says the following thing, and he's right. He says, a man who makes a good product should be entitled to keep the profits. There's nothing wrong with that, but what's happened under the current system, people are now rewarded in this so-called capitalist system for manipulating currencies and for manipulating monies, for manipulating profits. Nobody's making anything anymore. He said, that's wrong, and I agree. Would I vote for Ron Paul? No.
Who are you going to vote for?
I guess I just ran out of people, didn't I?
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to settle on somebody. How about Newt?
You just said you wasn't going to vote for him on account of he put a pin in him, he popped.
You put a pin in him, he popped. I don't know who I'm going to vote for, man. We'll figure it out. Right up to the very end, man. All right, we'll be back with more. The final few minutes here on this world-famous Phil Hendry show for this, a Thursday morning. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. It's Phil History Month, so tomorrow in the pre-show, we give away the first of our Phil History Month official Phil Hendry Show shot glasses if you can answer our question tomorrow during the pre-show. So be here for that on Phil TV and HD. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is the number here each and every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And, of course, we're getting ready to check it out. But After we do, we will be on our website with a show log so you can see what you missed, what you might have missed, what you could have missed, what you should have missed, and what you most assuredly shouldn't miss starting tomorrow night.
Right.
All right. Donald Trump has come out and endorsed Newt Gingrich. Didn't I already say this?
Yeah, I think you already reported on this, man.
I already talked about this, but good Lord, I'm losing my mind. Yeah, Donald Trump is endorsing Newt Gingrich, and it ain't going to do any good, man. Oh, I did that whole rap on Obama. Where the hell have I been, man? I can only say that, I'm sorry. All right, here's some more news from the aforementioned San Jose Mercury News, which Steve Bozell wants to sue because they mention how wealthy Mark Zuckerberg is and how Mark Zuckerberg can pay any woman on earth any amount of money that he wants, and he's got her, including April Bozell. Now, a tiny amount of radiation could have escaped from a Southern California nuclear power plant after a water leak prompted operators to shut down a reactor as a precaution. But plant officials and the public were not endangered, officials said on Wednesday. Yeah, sure. No, I'm sure they know what they're talking about. Should I trust them?
Well, I mean, the thing is, man, they want us to trust them, and then when we find out they were wrong, it's too late.
Yeah, you're going to be glowing. Your sack will glow.
Your sack will glow. You're talking about...
You're talking about being sterile.
Oh, take it easy. The leak was detected Tuesday afternoon in Unit 3 at the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station, about 45 miles north of San Diego. That San Onofre is that nuclear power plant down along the coast, Bud, that you say... Well, it was in the movie Police Squad, where they were talking about a woman's breasts, and it looks just like...
Oh, that one.
Yeah. That's the San Onofre power plant. Now, it wasn't large enough to require the plant to declare an emergency. Any possible leak of radiation into the atmosphere is rare. Also concerning was the many tubes that carry pressurized radioactive water were damaged, according to a spokesman for the NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The tubes are part of equipment that is virtually new, having been installed in 2010. The damage that they have found to many other tubes is unusual, and they're attempting to identify the reason, said Victor Drix of the NRC. News of the possible release of radioactivity was slow to emerge. Shortly after the incident, Southern California Edison issued a statement saying there's been no release to the atmosphere. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
First, just a little bit. Well. And I know they got to do that. Because if they said, for instance, radioactivity has been released, what am I going to do?
What would you do?
I don't know. The hell am I going to, you know? Mr. Henry, radioactivity has been released and it's on its way to you. I mean, do I get in my car and try to outrun it? What are you talking about? What do we do? You know, I'm not the radiation guy. I guess I ought to start to figure that out, huh?
Well, what are you supposed to do?
I don't know.
What about like a lead suit?
A lead suit? What are you talking about?
That's what they put on you when you get, like, your teeth x-rayed.
Yeah, but he's talking about a lead suit.
Well, I mean, if you had a lead suit and a lead hat.
A lead suit?
What are you laughing about, man? It's pretty serious.
Hey, dude, I'm telling you. Yeah, it's serious. This is not serious. This is fine. But Robert's telling me that I had to go out and get a lead suit with a lead hat, huh? What the?
Okay, man, forget it. Oh, well, did I not laugh at a thing, man? Shut up, man. All I'm trying to do is make a suggestion.
Well, what are you all worried about it?
Yeah, we're worried. They said that there's a radioactivity.
Bud, there is a little bit of radioactive water that apparently leaked. They're concerned about the damage to a number of tubes. I don't know. All right? You know, we've had... I will tell you this, and here is the good news, although it's cost people their lives... the human race now has experience with radioactive waste. The human race has experience not only with that, but we have experience now with nuclear reactors that have become compromised dangerously. We had Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, which literally killed people. God knows how many people have died as a result of Chernobyl. What's happened in Japan, and what are the fatalities there? Remember they were talking about those nuclear power plant workers that were in there looking to contain and otherwise somehow restore that plant, and they were saying we're dead men. They already knew they were dead men as they were working in there. I mean, you know, people, this is what we mean when we say that people have given their lives for the progress of the human race. If we're going to learn anything about radioactivity, like maybe we don't want to use it anymore, we have to take the experience of all of these people. The Japanese, the Russians, the people at Three Mile Island, wherever and however and whenever these things have happened, and we learn and we figure these things out and we try not to act stupid again in the future. A lead suit with a lead hat.
I'm talking like just a regular lead fedora.
Oh, a lead fedora.
You know, you could have one made up and look pretty fashionable.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, so he's laughing at us.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm sorry. I really don't know what else to do with the idea of a lead suit and a lead fedora, but that's just me. Phil Hendry here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced, of course, by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And we certainly do hope that you will join us again tonight when we return for another smash-em-up, fantastic show. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Join us for our archives, for our daily podcasts, for our video archives. And tomorrow night, we're going to have a little Phil History Month trivia for you. All right, guys? See you tonight, coming up at 10 Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern, here and on philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.